Well, thank you, and welcome once again to this radio broadcast, and we're grateful that you're listening this morning, and we just pray that, God would really bless you as you listen to another portion of His own precious Word. We would like to invite you to our Sunday school this morning at 10 o'clock, and our regular preaching service is at 11, and then tonight services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and 4:30 for our evening worship. And our Wednesday evening services begin at 7 o'clock with our Wednesday night Bible study. Also, you can check us out on the internet by going to www.independencebaptist.org. There's many things there that will be of interest to you and concerning our church and the things that we believe, the things that we practice. If there's any way we can be a help to you, we'll be glad to talk with you about all of those things. We've been preaching the last few Sunday mornings concerning the establishment of the first church. And we use Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 for our text. And this passage reads, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In the past, we have studied about 9 points totally. Now, we have 13 total on this point, on the establishment of the first church. The points we have covered thus far is, number one, the early church had the gospel message before the day of Pentecost, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Number two is the first church had baptized believers before the day of Pentecost, John chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Then number three is the church had an organization, even a treasurer, that is, before the day of Pentecost. That's in the book of John, chapter 13 and verse 29. The church, number four, had exactly the same head, Jesus Christ, as it has today. Then point number five is this. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 18, that is before the day of Pentecost, that Jesus Christ instructed his church as to how to deal with unruly members. Then point number six is that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through verse 30, Jesus Christ gave the Lord's Supper to his church before the day of Pentecost. Number seven is this. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through verse 20, Jesus Christ gave his church this commission to evangelize the world before the day of Pentecost. And then point number eight is this. Jesus Christ assembled with his church before the day of Pentecost. This is recorded in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and that is before the day of Pentecost. And then point number nine is this. Jesus Christ assembled with his church before the day of Pentecost. That's in the book of John chapter 20, verse 19 through verse 23. All right. Now, today's lesson begins with this. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 19, that is before the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ made his church an authoritative body. Also, Jesus Christ made his church an executive body and also a judicial body. It is to bind and to loose by its own decision. It is to hear cases and to pass judgment on them under the leadership of the Holy Spirit according to His own holy word. Now, the scripture we're using is in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19. The Bible states, "And I will give unto thee," that is, unto the church, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is an amazing scripture when you think about it, that Jesus Christ gave to his local church during his own personal ministry the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And these keys have not been removed. They are still there. Now, to give you an example of this, in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 11, here is a passage that tells of the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Why? Because they lied and because they were a thief. Verse 11 concludes by stating, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." Here's the whole thing, is that when proper church discipline is carried out, there is a fear of the Lord in the church. This is stated in verse 11. "And upon as many as heard these things." These are the ones that are not in the church. When a church refuses to discipline, or a church refuses to bring to the attention of any kind of sin before that particular church, there is no fear of God. And all who hear of this lack of action will not fear the Lord. You see, the Bible states in Matthew 16, verse 19, "And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The church has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. These keys are given to the church by Jesus Christ himself. The church of the great God does not bow the knee to any other than Christ, who has all power in heaven and in earth. Independence Baptist Church is a true church of Jesus Christ. We not only have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, but are responsible to God for how we use those keys. It is not our decision. We do not follow what we think, but we must do that which God and God alone determines beforehand that we should do. We are responsible to God alone. We must be spiritually minded, not earthly minded, or we will pay the consequences of our sin. Ananias and Sapphira were not spiritually minded, and they paid the consequences of their personal sin. We will also pay if we are not spiritually minded. The truth is that if we are truly saved by the power of God, if we are truly the children of God, then we are obligated to God, for our eternal souls and our lives will reflect that obligation. We are obligated to be spiritually people, not earthly people. We are obligated before God Almighty to think and act on spiritual thoughts, not earthly thoughts. Now, look at also in the book of John, chapter 20, and verse 19 through 23. And these verses state, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you." You know, here's a remarkable scripture. Jesus Christ said in verse 19, Jesus Christ said, "Peace be unto you." But the disciples were not glad then. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, when they saw his hands, when they saw his sides. Then were the disciples glad. You know, it behooves us to always be spiritually minded and not fleshly minded as these disciples were. It's a transition period for these disciples, and they are coming to the place of really seeing God, and they're coming to the place of giving themselves up to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 21 of John chapter 20, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you." Jesus says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained." It's an amazing scripture, verse 23. When Jesus says unto the disciples, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This word remit means to leave, to forgive, to suffer, to let, to forsake, to let alone. The word retain means to hold. It means to take. It means to lay hold on, to hold fast. This is an amazing scripture that Jesus said that the responsibility is upon the church to retain sins or to let sins go. This is an amazing scripture when you think about it, that we have the responsibility before God to act and to do right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us an example of this happening. In this place, here is a church that has accepted the sin of a man who has committed fornication with his father's wife. This is an amazing sin. But this church had accepted this one, and Paul makes mention that this church has a choice before it. It has a choice to either accept this individual or to accept God. It's one way or the other. It cannot be both ways. Here's the thing. God has given to us this choice of accepting either Him or the ways of the world. Either Him or the ways of sin. Which will it be? Think of what God is saying to the church here in this place. Somebody would say, just join the church of your choice whenever you're saved. What to really think about that subject? Just join the church of your choice? Is that what it's all about? Of my choice? Or should I join the church of Jesus' choice? Which should it be? Think about it. Somebody would say, it's really scriptural just to join the church of your choice. But it is not. You see, it's not what I think that makes the real difference here, but it's what God says really counts. Instead of just saying, join the church of your choice, shouldn't it be join the church of Jesus' choice? Shouldn't it really be join the church that Jesus says that a person ought to join? Point number 11 is this. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been promised Holy Spirit baptism in Acts 1 and verse 5. That is before the day of Pentecost. Notice what the scripture says. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Absolutely nobody except the local church has ever been promised this great gift. I know today that there's much confusion about what this gift is, but here it is. This promise is before the day of Pentecost, not after. Not after at all. Well, we see that our time has slipped away from us again this morning. The Lord willing, we'll continue this message again next Sunday morning. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer those questions for you. Thank you very much for listening to this radio broadcast.